It won't last long, and it won't happen again for 20 years. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. In a few hours, the moon will start to eclipse the sun.
We're going to see later on today. There's special glasses to use them, so I can't looking forward to it.
She's in Pennsylvania. Americans in all 48 lower states will get to see at least a partial eclipse. There will be areas it's going to be full from Texas to Maine.
There's a lot of excitement, just like there's a buzz in the air.
He's among those who've traveled to Bloomington, Indiana, from where Fox Business Network's Kelly Saberi reports.
The last solar total eclipse was in 2017, and it only lasted about 2 minutes and 42 seconds. You will be able to view this one in totality, if you're lucky enough, for about 4.5 minutes in some places.
Former President Trump has laid out his abortion policy ahead of a Biden rematch, saying there should not be a federal standard on when abortion should be allowed or banned.
The states will determine by vote or legislation, or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land.
In reaction, the Biden campaign put out a statement blaming the former president and his Supreme Court appointees for undoing a woman's right to abortion, saying he's responsible for cruelty and chaos after some states banned the procedure. The president's on the move, heading to Wisconsin. Fox Business Network's Edward Lawrence reports from Madison he'll give millions more Americans more student loan debt relief.
It automatically forgives loans for undergraduate students who started repaying more than 20 years ago, for graduate students who started paying 25 years ago. It includes students whose universities fail to provide adequate financial aid, but doesn't define that exactly. It also includes forgiveness for people who can show hardship in paying back their loans. Again, no big exact definition.
We just got this news from New York City. Actor Jonathan Majors will not be going to prison. A judge just sentenced him to probation. Majors was found guilty of misdemeanor assault and harassment after a fight with his now ex-girlfriend last year. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey guys, Donald Trump Jr. here. Let me ask you this. Does inflation feel worse than what we're being told in the news? That's because the official inflation rate doesn't tell the whole story. Since January 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back, but what you can do is stop your losses today. How? By diversifying your savings into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. When you're done, your money will be parked in a tangible asset with a proven history. To see how it works, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word PROTECT to 989898. I trust Birch Gold. They provide an easy process to roll over your 401k or IRA into gold without losing your tax-advantaged status. So text PROTECT to 989898. That's PROTECT to the number 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold.
Message.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
Did you know that warranty is the most important feature in an AC today? When an AC quits cooling, our warranties work overtime. Our York 1, 5, or 10-year parts and labor warranty is second to none. 2024 is the year to upgrade to a new York AC or heat pump. Before the refrigerant changes again, call Air Central Heating and Cooling or go to our blog at acuma.com.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acuma.com.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
And Doug. To celebrate everyone who's customized and saved hundreds on car insurance with Liberty Mutual, we got a savings siren that goes off every time someone saves. There it is! It's a really... more savings. Which really... okay, a lot of savings. Little annoying now.
Will you stop saving for 5 seconds?
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com. Savings may vary, underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson. Hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Hey, welcome back to another edition of Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and I'm in the studio today with Sean Garner, my partner. And we've got Tom Sparks, we've got Cody Beeson in the studio. And Sean, we were talking recently about this new wage law that passed. And, well, not so much passed, but it was implemented in California, I think about a week and a half ago, something like that, where all fast food. My understanding is it's affecting the fast food industry, and the minimum wage set is $20 an hour, and that's pretty steep. We are employers ourselves at our law firm of, I think we've got about 13, 14 people right now, Sean, on our payroll, and we here in Arizona recently had to raise our minimum wage as employers because it was mandated by law to $15 an hour, and we worked ourselves up to that over the last few years. And I don't know what you think about that, Sean. Are you in favor of a mandatory fee hike on minimum wage, or would you rather the market figure this out?
Okay, so first we'll start with the fact check. Minimum wage is $14.35 an hour. We don't pay our employees a dime more. No, just kidding. but
it's working itself up to 15.
It is. It's currently 14.35.
It's probably because we don't pay less than 15 most of the time.
Right.
Well, in our office.
Yeah, because all of our employees are stellar. But getting back to whether or not I agree with minimum wage in general, I think you got to start every law with the three pillars. Does it protect property? Does it protect liberties from being infringed by other individuals? And does it protect or preserve life? And if it doesn't do those three things, at least one of them, then I don't think that it's a reasonable law. I don't think it's a constitutional law. When specifically we look into the Constitution, we don't look into that document to determine everything that the government can do that's enumerated there. It's everything is our rights, and the government is limited. And in the Constitution itself, it actually speaks directly on this issue, because when you're working for somebody in exchange for a wage, that's a contract. If I'm going to put in X amount of hours of work, then you could pay me $15 an hour. Or if I'm going to build a porch for you, you could pay me to build that porch regardless of how long it takes and what the materials cost if I quote you a flat fee for the porch. That is the right to contract. And in the Constitution, it guarantees us the right to contract, that the government's not going to interfere with that. However, for some reason, we totally lose sight of the constitutional issues when it comes to this, with minimum wage. So, Cody, if you wanted to come to my house and do a project, and it happens to be a hobby that you like a lot, but I wanted to employ you to do that, I could not legally employ you for less than $14.35, even though we both agreed to it as adults that understand business. So I think that's ridiculous. Another thing that I think is wrong with it is the general mentality overall. I think that the lawmakers look at the single mother. I think that's generally the poster person when they're considering what the minimum wage ought to be and determining what she needs to earn to take care of her family. That is not the right standard for determining what we can pay any individual, especially individuals in the fast food, you know, marketplace or that commerce, because that's where most young people get their start in the workforce. They learn the fast food because it's skills that can be easily taught and systematized, so we can get our food quick and cheap, and they can get some learning experience. Now we're basing it on, can a single mother support her kids with this wage? And there's a little news clip that I want to play that kind of personifies that a little bit.
The United States has a patchwork of minimum wage laws. Labor Department data shows 20 states pay the federal minimum wage of $7.25. But workers earn between $8 and $13 in 14 other states. The highest minimum wage levels range from $13 to $17. Those rates prevail in the District of Columbia and 16 states, including California, where fast food workers will now earn $20 an hour, $4 above the state's minimum. Carter Evans has more details.
Anisha Williams, a homeless mother of six, just got a big pay boost from her job at Jack in the Box.
The day is finally here.
After years of battling business owners, workers at California fast food restaurants with 60 or more locations will now be paid at least $20 an hour. That amounts to a 25% jump from the state's minimum wage overnight. What does this raise mean for you and your family?
Hope.
But it's not good news for everyone.
Real world impacts are already being seen. Businesses are potentially looking at reducing hours, laying off employees.
Are your employees worried that their hours might get cut?
They're already seeing it happen, unfortunately.
Alex Johnson is a franchise owner of 5 Cinnabons and 5 Auntie Anne's pretzel shops in the Bay Area.
We've already raised prices anywhere from 10 to 15% over those last 3 years, but we're looking to do the same again now with this wage increase.
He says a pretzel that cost $3.99 in 2019 will soon cost $7. Even at Jack in the Box, where Anisha Williams works, menu prices could soon rise up to 8%. A small price to pay, she says, for a life-changing wage increase. Do you think this raise could help you finally find a place to live?
I'm really crossing my fingers, my toes, and whatever else. But yes, I believe that it can help. It's a start.
Some restaurant owners tell me the higher wages are causing them to look into automating more aspects of the business, like ordering from a kiosk and even robots that can flip burgers. John?
Carter Evans, thank you. For more on what wage changes mean for the industry and Californians, we're joined by economy and labor journalist Margot Roosevelt. Margot, it's good to see you. Not all states have the same cost of living. So help us put the minimum wage in context for us in life in California.
In California, the price of housing has gone absolutely through the roof. It's 39% higher than the rest of the country. And so no wonder you have so many homeless in California. 181,000 people are homeless in California, and many of them are living in their cars, and whole families are living in their cars, and it's just a tragic situation. So wages are not high enough to support people.
And so fast food workers in particular in California, would they then be considered, and maybe even with this new minimum wage bump, essentially in the category of what's often referred to as the working poor?
In California, fast food workers are twice as likely to be living in poverty than any other workers. And at the same time, the fast food industry has been increasing its profits and increasing its prices. So the economists who study the fast food industry say that they can well afford to pay more.
And what about the franchise owners, like the one in Carter Evans's piece? They say their profits are dwindling and they're going to have to either raise prices, hire robots, or shrink the number of employees. Is the feeling, well, what's the feeling about those kinds of reactions?
Well, the fact is that the fast food industry has been increasing its prices. Over the last 10 years, it's increased its prices by 46% compared to 28% for other industries. So they have really been profiteering over the last decade. And in fact, even last year, the top 10 fast food firms, spent $6 billion on stock buybacks. Now, that's money that goes into the pockets of shareholders and executives, not into the pockets of the working poor who are at these franchises. So really, we're in a situation where you haven't been able to earn a living wage at a fast food restaurant. And that's what the new law is trying to change.
And finally, Margo, the California has also established something called a fast food council that recently met for the first time. Who's on the council and what are its goals?
So there are 9 members of this council, and they represent both employers and franchises and workers and advocates. And they're looking at not just wages, but also at working conditions. And the sad thing for many fast food workers is that they really don't have any voice in, haven't had any voice in the working conditions. So if you're a fast food worker and you experience sexual harassment, or if you're burned when you're trying to make your hamburger, or if you're retaliated by your boss, or if your hours are cut so you're not able to support your children and pay for childcare, you have no recourse. And the idea behind this fast food council is that there will be a place where you can raise these issues and where you can address the conditions that are in these restaurants.
Economy and labor journalist Margo Roosevelt. Thank you so much, Margo.
Thank you.
So, Thomas, I understand you're named after the famous economist Thomas Sowell. So we're going to start with you. What's your take on, number one, the mother of four who's homeless and her plight, and now she's going to have a better lifestyle because of this new law raising the minimum wage of fast food restaurants, and Margot's opinion that it's these owners of these franchises that are just profiteering, and that's the reason they're raising their prices. There's no more dollar menu because these guys just like to kick the poor while they're down and raise the prices.
Yeah, I feel bad for the homeless mother of six because...
Was it six or four?
I think it was six.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay.
So I feel bad for her because these laws, whether they're being passed by, you know, do-gooders or nefarious, you know, people with a different motivation, they're pricing her out of the market. The very law that's meant to protect her is doing her the most harm, because what it's asking employers to do is to engage in charity work, where a government entity has decided how much a job is worth, $20 an hour, let's say, and if it's really actually only worth maybe 10 or 12, and a teenager could do it, they're asking the employer to subsidize her salary by $8 an hour. And a lot of businesses just flat out can't afford to do that.
Or decide not to. I mean, a lot of business owners don't go into fast food just because all they know how to do is cook hamburgers fast. Generally, they know how to run businesses, and so if government's going to get more entrenched into regulating that industry, they'll go into a different industry.
Right, and I just think that if we went back to the world where two people could talk about what they think was worth, what an item or a service was worth, you'd be a lot closer to finding what the true value of an item is, not somebody who's outside with an ulterior motive.
I think the poster child that they found was ideal. I forgot, what was her name? Shoot.
The person working?
Yeah.
No idea.
homeless mother of six.
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
Yeah.
That's really what they focused on, though.
She's labeled by her circumstance, not her name.
Bingo. That was more important.
What about her race and sex?
That's ancillary.
Well, that too. I mean.
So, for those of you listening to us, she was a black female, middle-aged woman. I don't know if she's a woman or not. I don't know what she characterized herself as, but she was able to bear six children, so we'll just let that speak for itself.
Birthing person.
Yeah, and so anyhow, she is the spokesperson, I guess, for the community of individuals that need to have at least $20 an hour, and they need to work at a fast food restaurant at the same time. It's not an option. They got to work at a fast food restaurant, and they need that $20 an hour. So I'm confused at why we're focusing on the fast food industry for that minimum wage. Not that that's going to stop there. And in fact, they implied that the law was going to change pretty quickly. So the entire state minimum wage was going to creep up to that $20 an hour. But they're starting with the fast food restaurant. I think it's just to, you know, start opening, if this is an analogy anybody gets, opening the tent door for the camel to sneak in. Does anybody get that one?
No.
All right.
I can picture it, though.
You let the camel in a little bit. Yeah. Before the night's over, the whole camel's in the tent.
Have you experienced that? Why did you use that metaphor?
Who
has a camel that's ever experienced that and can identify with that?
Hey.
Abraham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably came up.
I'm pretty sure it's in the Bible.
We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
If you've enjoyed the mild weather we've had here the last couple of days, you'll like today, another mild day, and then after today, it warms up. And it gets much warmer, actually, midweek and a good bit of the week. Temperatures 90 degrees or even warmer. Enjoy today. Just a few clouds, 78 this afternoon. Tomorrow, the winds pick up, 85 the high, and Wednesday, sunny, 92 Wednesday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Any messages, Grandma?
Southwest Lumber called to answer questions about your rental. Something about nail clippers.
Tile nippers.
The Wicked Witch.
Ditch Witch trenchers.
And puzzles.
Oh, jigsaws.
Yuma's best source for rentals is Southwest Lumber. Saturday rental specials. Get 2 days for the price of one. Overnight rentals are half price if picked up after 4 and returned by 9 the next morning. Call Southwest Lumber for more at 928-782-9867.
Hey, Yuma! This is Cecilia Holland Braithwaite at El Dorado Broadcasters. They call me Miss Sunshine because I smile a lot and I try not to break hearts as I shed light on marketing and advertising ideas. Your business future can be bright when you tell your story the right way to the right people enough time. This could be your commercial, but instead, your future clients and customers are hearing me right now. I bet your story is better. Let's tell it. Call me at 928-329-3091.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, and I've got attorney Sean Garner. We've got attorney Tom Spark. Lots of attorneys in here, so we've got a lot of hot air in the room.
We need to mix it up a little bit.
And we got Cody running the board, and he's our sound tech. He's amazing at that. We were talking on the first segment about the price hike on minimum wage, specifically in California, to $20 an hour in the fast food industry. We played a clip there where you'd asked a question, Sean. You know, what was the question you asked? I don't know. Sometimes when you talk, I tune out. No offense.
Well, I wish I could say none taken, but
you do the same to me, so it's reciprocal. And you'd asked a question, and I was going to say, well, the lady retorted, the answer to your question is, why are they targeting? That's what it was. Oh, yeah. Why are they going after the fast food industry first? Like, why them?
So she just assumes, well, these fast food guys.
She didn't assume. She said, well, it's because in layman's terms, they make enough money that they can afford it. ever since the pandemic, they're making a ton of money.
Well,
and
I don't think
none
she
of that's
knows
to
that
employees.
I don't think she knows that for a fact. That's why I use the word assumes.
No, I hear you. She quoted some stuff, though, some statistics where
that their price has gone up.
Yeah, and that money is not going to employees, it's in her estimation, and therefore the government needs to force it to the employees. And I think Tom is exactly right. I mean, you have a government that's forcing charitable giving, in a sense, is what they're doing. We see this from time to time with the tax code. You give incentive, the IRS will give you incentives to give charitably so you can write that off on your taxes and lower. And so the government will do this from time to time, but I don't know if we've ever seen it to the extent here where you force an employer in the private market to have to pay a certain amount of money to an unqualified individual that has no, you know, what would you say?
Work
I say
experience.
Unqualified because most likely don't have a college degree. They most likely don't have a high school diploma in a lot of cases. That's why they're working this entry-level fast food market. And when I say that, it sounds really bad. It sounds,
sounds like an elitist,
derogatory.
Elitist white attorney with white privilege.
It sure does.
But it's not.
But I don't mean it that way.
They don't have a high school diploma because they're still in high school. That's what the job should be.
Yeah.
There you go.
Know,
that
still
was
living.
My first job, serve a burger.
Burger server?
Out. How'd that restaurant do?
Still around, I think. Okay. It's in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Must have done a good job.
Yeah.
You haven't followed up? Just see if they're still operating?
And
I'll look it up right now.
I want to know.
Okay.
Did Sean Garner put them under? Probably not, because they probably paid you $3 an hour. Back in the good old days, by that I mean the 90s, I used to hear this all the time from those that worked at Dairy Queen. Like, Dairy Queen was, I don't know how. And maybe it's still like this, but they weren't subject to the minimum wage laws at the time. And so their employees – this is what I was told. I don't know if it's true. All I knew is that I would go to Dairy Queen because my friends worked there for some free ice cream. But they would say something to the effect that they got like $2 or $3 an hour. And the minimum wage back then was, I think, like $7.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know –
Were they getting tips?
I don't know how they got away with that. I don't know.
Well, yeah. So I confirm. Server Burger is still around.
How many stars is that?
4.4.
That's not bad.
4.4.
That's not bad.
That is really good. I want to try it.
554.
You know, it would
reviews.
Be interesting to see what they're hiring at. Like, what?
In Idaho?
Call them right now.
I guarantee it's going to be what the minimum wage is. It's like 7 something. What's the minimum wage in the United States?
Yeah, it's in Idaho, it's still under 10. I know that.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, because Idaho doesn't implement its own state minimum wage. Like, many states don't. I think it's something like 20 states don't have their own minimum wage. They just follow
the federal system.
Mm-hmm. Minimum wage.
Yeah, I think to your point, Adam, that we've seen the government give incentives, like through the tax code, for people to engage in charitable work. But this is, I think, a further step when they're legislating it, saying you have to do this rather than I'm incentivizing you through a tax break to do it. And my question would be, why are we stopping at $20? Like, why not $100? You know, you're not charitable enough.
And that's the thing that I thought was funny is because Margot, the economist, afterwards said that, well, the housing is so expensive and the cost of living is so expensive, so we have to raise the wages of the individuals. Why do you think everything's so expensive over there? You keep raising the wages, you keep raising the cost of services, you keep raising the real estate prices, and it becomes monopoly money. Right? Nothing's actually worth what you're paying for it. You step across the border in Arizona, you're going to pay half for it. Now, we're getting the trickle-over effect where Arizona is starting to suffer from the prices that California charges for their services, and our housing market has artificially increased based on what California's housing market is. But it's a cause and effect. When you increase the mandatory amount that people must be paid, then everything else increases. And you're just going to perpetuate the problem more and more, where any other state that is reasonable, like Idaho, Californians retire, sell their $1 million one-bedroom house, go to Idaho and buy a mansion, and the Idahoans who had been working their entire life to afford something remotely similar are upset because you've got this influx of California money that brings along with it their politics, and they don't like that.
It's interesting because I've had contact with people from Idaho these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, just, you were up in Idaho, or you?
I was up in Utah, and okay. So I had opportunities to talk to people that where I was in Utah, Salt Lake City. A lot of people. It's like a 3-hour drive for a lot of people down from Idaho over the Easter weekend and stuff. So I ran into a lot of people from Idaho, and this came up the 3 or 4 times with the people that I met from Idaho. If I mentioned the word Californian, a Californian's uh-huh. coming in, they all detest the Californians. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, like we have something in common. Not that we don't like people from California, but we don't like the politics coming into our states. We don't like them buying up our real estate and driving. Just because your state is sour, we don't want that to spill into our states and sour our states with the real estate market, with the employment wages and things like that.
The sense of entitlement, you know. In Idaho, so I looked up the minimum wage right now. So what Server Burger is paying, most likely, is $7.25 compared to $20 for the same job, for the same services. You're telling me there's no homeless mother of 6 children in Idaho? They don't deserve that $20 an hour? I think that there are those people there. The difference is employers pay what employees are willing and able to work for and the services they're able to provide.
Our constitutional union of states was designed to be a laboratory. And so California has the opportunity, like it has done, to implement this, and we get to sit back and watch what happens in California. The problem is now, I don't know if our founders intended or even foresaw the amount of movement between states of residents. If they don't like something in California or the policies there, they go to Idaho or they go to Arizona and they bring those with them. I don't know if our founders really foresaw that, but they definitely saw or wanted this idea of federalism to be intact in the sense that you've got these states that are in charge of their own kind of laboratory of laws.
Yeah.
And we see that play out in Florida. We see that play out in Tennessee. Ever since the pandemic and the severe lockdowns in most states, those two states have thrived, and a lot of Californians have moved to Texas, to Tennessee, to Florida because
– South Dakota.
They saw the laboratory there of law system flourish in the sense that a lot of people have the – whether it's right or wrong, they have the idea that those states are probably more free than other states. And so they make a big, bold move. We saw this with a lot of popular podcasters like Ben Shapiro –
Joe Rogan,
Dave Rubin,
they all moved to Florida or they moved to Tennessee because they were treated better there. And they, in their mind, thought that they would be treated better there. So we're seeing this play out now in California. Is this law going to work? What do you think, Tom? I mean, what is the opposite argument here? I get the idea from this economist that it might throw everything out of whack, but at the same time, California is super expensive to live. A person can't survive without a high wage, most likely, or they're going to be below poverty line. They're probably going to be there anyway. And I've often thought to myself, how does a person live in California without a 6-figure income?
Yeah. Is it the franchise's fault that she is homeless with 6 children because they won't pay her enough?
No, but I'm asking from a basic, like, principle standpoint of economics. We attend the same church, you and I, Tom, and I don't know if you've had the experience to deal with. In our church, we have a charitable arm, and so individuals that need food or assistance, they can come to the head of the church in the local area, and they can request help. That help often comes in the form of food and money to pay bills and things like that. So I don't know if you've been in those roles, Tom, or not, but what I've seen is the individual in that particular role that's known as a bishop, they have the mantle placed upon them to listen to this individual that's struggling and determine whether or not that need can be addressed through charitable means and whether the church is going to extend that to them in the form of food help, kind of like food stamps on the government side. But in our church, it's like you can write a ticket to go shopping at a local pantry, if you will. And they can also pay bills, write checks straight to APS or write checks straight to the landlord, for example. And so that person is tasked with determining, okay, will this help? if I pay this APS bill or if I pay this landlord out of the church coffers, will this help that individual become self-sufficient? And oftentimes, I've seen that individual that has to make that call not pay the bill. Or
the bishop.
Yeah. Or not give the assistance because that individual will figure it out. They always do. And I think that's the same concept. Personally, I think that's the same concept. Sean, you mentioned, well, why are you even living in California? You, this mother of six that's homeless, you can go anywhere in the United States. You can get there.
Yeah, I think self-preservation is, I mean, we don't give it enough credit. Like, people will do what they need to survive. And I think, taking the church example, that's the end goal is self-sufficiency. Like, the end goal of this legislation is not self-sufficiency. It's to redistribute wealth so everyone has a little bit or has enough. And the definition of enough is what some legislator thinks in the government arm of the state or the federal government. The question still has to be asked, what is something worth? So instead of a fast food employer and an employee deciding how much something is worth, you have someone who could be hundreds or thousands of miles away determining what something's worth. And what the government's decided it's worth is $20 an hour. But why are they in a better position to decide whether it's worth 20 versus 2 versus 100? The best person who's positioned to determine whether it's worth something are the people engaging in the activity.
Absolutely. And that goes back to you, Sean, where you mentioned the best people to make policies are those on the local level. The closer it gets to the local community, the better those policies or laws are probably going to be because they're boots on the ground. We're living it. The further detached or away you get from that local community, the more detriment a law probably most likely has on the local community because they're so far removed, they don't understand the needs and the wants of that local community. You've said that from time to time.
Yeah, and I believe that in most cases, but I guess there's an exception for Gavin Newsom and Joe Biden. I think they really understand how to run fast food restaurants and what it takes to create a budget and make it work, live within their means. So
maybe they also understand.
Maybe I was wrong on those two individuals.
The science behind communicable diseases as well, really well.
Exactly. So and how to solve the homeless problem. You know, those two individuals with homelessness. So maybe I'm going to have to defer to them. You know, they magically they are millionaires, despite the fact that Joe Biden has been in politics his entire life. And right now, politicians don't get paid more than $200,000 a year. That's the highest paid politician. It's $200,000. And yet he's worth, more than $10 million and spends most of his time on vacation. But he understands the plight of the homeless mother of six, and so he should be making those laws.
Yeah, and
yeah, of course I'm being facetious in all this. If none of you can pick up on my tone or see my face, I don't believe that in the least.
I think one of the things that happens when you have all of these separate, like, entities that are making these decisions and they're three or four orders, you know, away from the actual boots on the ground, like you said, Adam, is it gives opportunity for special interests to come in and to tag on a little bit of pork, you know, at every level. So by the time you get from McDonald's in Idaho or Server Burger in North Idaho to Washington, D.C., there's four layers or five layers of government. Each person has tacked on a little special interest that they want to have their own little pet project for. And that's driving that price up artificially.
I think you have to look at also the timing of this law. I mean, what year are we in, right? We're in an election year. And, of course, Gavin Newsom signs the law. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that are saying, oh, he's getting us more money. We should vote for this individual. We should vote for these types of policies. It has nothing to do with the reality of whether or not it's going to improve anybody's lives. It has to do with, am I going to remain in power? Am I going to continue to govern as I see fit and regardless of the consequences of my action? Am I going to continue to take my private jet on the public dime anywhere I want? Well, then, fine, I'll sign the bill.
We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Listen to KBLU from 8 to 9 every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law. Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Learn how you can plan your estate using a will or trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday, 8 to 9 a.m. on 560 KBLU.
Once upon a time, air conditioning was simple. It blew cold air, or it didn't. Today, air conditioning is more than cooling. Healthy, conditioned air is essential. When people ask me who I trust, I tell them, in Yuma, the only thing you need to know about air conditioning is Hansberger Refrigeration. Find them at HansbergerRefrig.com. That's Hansberger, R-E-F-R-I-G.com.
Hansberger Refrigeration and Electric. Hansberger, count on us.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life to the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and we've got Sean Garner, Tom Sparks, and Cody Beeson with us. We've been talking a lot today about the minimum wage hike in California that recently went into effect from, I don't know what it was, but now it's $20 an hour in the fast food industry.
$16 an hour.
So it went from that's a huge hike, $16 an hour. That's a $4 an hour hike. That is ridiculous.
25% overnight.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize it was $16 an hour. I mean, as an employer, that's like a stab to the heart. What I foresee happening here is we don't know. Like I mentioned before, California is a laboratory among states. So we are going to see how this plays out and whether or not we as sister states should implement a policy like this. So it's either going to work for them or it's not.
And I would be interesting to hear their breakdown of, you know, they go to the restaurant and they order from the menu and you get this, the hamburger. You can often get a hamburger for $2 at Wendy's, right? You can get is it a Frosty?
Yeah.
Frosty, yeah.
You can get a Frosty there for, I don't know, $3. What would it cost for you to go home, buy the bread, buy the meat, buy the lettuce, the tomatoes, cook those things, put them together, buy the ice cream, whip it up, and do it yourself? It's probably going to be more than $5 for a hamburger and a Frosty. These individuals, these fast food franchise owners, they've found a way to make it more convenient and affordable to get this stuff quickly, yet none of that is taken in consideration. All that's looked at is the plight of the mother of six who's homeless. And we look at that and say, you fast food restaurant employers who are employing generally entry-level workers, you guys need to fix the problem. We don't care how much it costs and what you're producing. You need to fix the problem by bringing these individuals that are our constituents that are going to be voting for us next election cycle, which happens to be this year, and you need to pay them more.
You know how it's going to be fixed? With automation and robots.
And that's where I was going with this. Yeah. You can already go to McDonald's. You don't even have to go in. You just go on the McDonald's app, I order, and they bring it to my car. And that's really a response to COVID. But at the same time, They've implemented that, and I think these large corporations in the fast food industry, they saw the writing on the wall. And why not? I mean, it's easier for me to do my own order because I know what I want than to walk up to that mother of six that's living out of her car and ask for a certain particular burger without mayo, without lettuce, but with tomatoes and with mustard only. And then, lo and behold, that's not what I get when I get my order back because she's fallible. She's going to mess that up most of the time. When I have a specific order, which I rarely do because I don't want to be disappointed, I'm guessing it's probably 50-50. That's going to be right.
Yeah.
When I go through a human being. I can do it on my app real fast without talking to a person and experiencing their attitude of their poor life, like projected onto me as I'm in that line. No, I just want a happy meal.
I want to be happy.
Yeah, I want to be happy, okay? And I can tell by looking at your face, you're not happy. And that's making me sad, okay? So I can avoid that by just using the app or the kiosk when I walk into McDonald's. And I think that's what's going to happen is you're going to see more and more automation. And these people that were clamoring for a rate hike in California in the fast food industry, these workers, they're not going to have work.
Right.
They're going to be automated out of their own job.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because it's cheaper for these companies to give you a free fry for using their app than it is to pay that employee $20 an hour.
Absolutely.
So now that's how many cashiers we don't need.
Exactly right. And honestly, I'm okay with that in the sense of I'm going to get my own order right, and if I don't, it's on me. There's some psychological factor there, and Sean, you've talked about this before. You have a vested interest in your own like selections. So if I go into that app and I select this particular burger and I say, well, I don't want tomatoes on it. I just want lettuce. I want that. And if I don't get that right, that's because it was my mess up and I'm taking a vested interest and responsibility for that. Whereas if I'm going through a person and they're inevitably going to mess that up, I mean, you know, they have no qualified skills outside this world of fast food and they're probably going to mess it up. And that just causes me to be even more angry. I was listening to a Nate Bargatze skit yesterday, and he talks about his horrible wedding experience.
Yeah.
And he said they were trying to cut corners on everything because they were so cheap. And there was this DJ that had one leg. And the DJ, like, you know, that's okay. So he didn't have a leg. You know, it's okay. Until he starts messing up, and then you're like, why does he only have one leg? You know, like, now you're upset. And now you want to know, like, why do you only have one leg? And that's the same. Like, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt when I go to order, but most likely they're going to mess up my order if I do something outside of what's on that screen. And everything's fine and dandy until they mess the order up, and then I'm like, now I'm blaming you, okay?
Why do you have to work here?
Yeah, why are you the way that you are? Am I just a horrible person, Sean? I see it in your face. You're like, you're a horrible person.
That just you disgust me.
You're thinking it. You just don't say it out loud.
I just did.
You're a politician. That's why.
The worst insult on this show. Call someone a politician.
That's true. Lower than low.
It's like Idaho people and Californians calling someone a Californian.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't California my Arizona.
Right. I think when the consumer is put first, it just solves everything. Like, don't put the worker first. The worker and the employer will figure out their own contracts. If you want to focus on making the best product for the consumer, that's going to drive up your revenues. That's going to make you be able to afford expanding your company, hiring more people. And hiring more people is a good thing. Like, the motor of the economy is the business owner.
That's
not
interesting.
The labor.
I think there's a word for that.
It's called, starts with a C?
Yeah, it's called capitalism.
Yeah.
Mm. It's interesting. I was
strange.
Listening to Dinesh D'Souza's book yesterday. And I don't know why Dinesh has fallen out of favor. He used to be really in the flow with conservative talk shows. And I think because of 2000 Mules and the fact that he wouldn't give up quite as easily with the rigged election conspiracy, apparently, that was out there, that a lot of conservative mainstream media outlets dropped him. Anyways, sorry, I digress. Dinesh D'Souza. He was talking about the fact that with capitalism, most of the time, the people that are providing the services and the products, They are focusing on what the consumer wants 99% of the time. Because if they can get that formula right, then they can be successful. If they can figure out what the consumer wants, then they put together and they figure out how to provide it, just like Adam was talking about. First of all, you got to understand that I am the solution. I have all the tools that I need to make this work. I just need to know what the problem is, identify it, and then I can put the ingredients together that require the person to get the services and the time they need with the price that they're willing to pay me and a quality that they're willing to accept. And that is capitalism at its greatest. And I think we talk about, well, what policy would be better? Here's the best policy. Government, stick to protecting my freedoms, keeping me safe from foreign invaders, my property safe from burglary and theft, and make sure that I'm free to move around without any impediment. And then I'm going to contract with whoever I want to, and the services that I choose are going to be provided by the people that have innovated to provide those the best, most efficient, and most cost-effective way possible. And we're going to contract freely one with another without you getting in our business.
And I think that I'll make it clear that that system is better for everyone. Like, we're not advocating for a system that like lets the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah, we don't want to just stomp on the poor. It's not us trying to turn our back on the mother with six children.
Right. It's to say, like, for example, Walmart did not come from a government where the government mandated Walmart to be created. It came from the pursuit of giving the consumer the best product. Now everyone gets to benefit from Walmart. We get the cheaper prices. They employ a ton of people. You know, Ford Motor Company like didn't revolutionize the automobile industry because the government told them to. They gave them a contract and said you should go and create more cars. It was
the assembly line process,
right? It was filling a need that the consumer needed, and that is historically how things get better for everybody involved. So one of my favorite economists is Milton Friedman. He has a lot of good interviews that he did in the 60s and 70s, and the thing about the 60s and 70s and economic principles, they were just as true then as they are now, and he has some really great things to say about the minimum wage law, and we'd like to play that clip for you now.
The one thing that a minimum wage would do would be to reduce the number of people who receive a positive income from working. Those people who were kept in employment would have a higher income. But let me look at it a different way. Look at it from an overall point of view. The higher minimum wage will lead to people being unemployed. I think everybody will agree on that. All people say is, oh, well, the number would be small, and that's offset by the advantage of those who are still employed. However, by decreasing the number employed, do you increase or decrease the total pie? Do you have more to distribute to everybody in the country if more people are employed or if fewer people are employed? Obviously, you have more to distribute if more people are employed. They produce more. These low-wage people who are driven into unemployment by a rise in the minimum wage don't produce what they otherwise would have produced. So the total pie is smaller. Now, how can that on net be an advantage? There's a great deal of nonsense talked about the minimum wage. If raising the minimum wage from $4.25 to $5.15 is a good idea, why not to $10? Why are you so mean and nasty that you don't want people to have $10 now? It's countered by saying, oh, well, a little is good, but a lot would be bad. Now, I don't understand the logic of that. If a lot is bad, then a little is bad. It's all in the same direction. It doesn't change direction. And the people who are employed at the minimum wage today are predominantly teenagers, secondary earners, people who are working part-time. It's a very small fraction of the population that's employed at the low wage. Why do we have a minimum wage? It's very easy to see. The trade unions want to reduce the amount of competition. We have a minimum wage for the same reason we have tariffs, an attempt to reduce competition. And that interest is concentrated, politically powerful. The interest of these poor suckers at the bottom who are going to lose their jobs, they don't have much political power, and they can't counter on it. And by using this high-sounding language, the trade union people get people like you, who have the best of intentions, to support their special interest.
What I like best about that not only did it make sense, but the title of the book. It's free to choose. So if you want to go look up some of these economic principles that are the most sound, are the old tried and true principles that have been ignored by the current policymakers. But it's free to choose. And that's been my underlying point this entire conversation is, why can't I pay somebody what they're willing to accept? And if they don't want to do the work, they don't have to come to work for me. And I won't have anybody to leverage my time and to get my services out there to the consumer. So free to choose is the bottom line. And that is freedom. As soon as the government requires me to pay somebody more than the market actually demands, it's what Thomas said here. It's forced welfare. Welfare is like a drug. A drug is addictive, and it's only a spiral effect down from there. That's all the time that we have for today. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
When life gets overwhelming, but you just don't feel like talking, help is only a text away. Trained and caring crisis specialists are available by text 24/7 to assist with suicidal thoughts, substance use issues, depression, anxiety, and more. You are never alone. When you need help, please text HOPE to 4HOPE. From anywhere in Arizona, text the word HOPE to 44673. This message is sponsored by Solari Crisis and Human Services.
There's a place where fashion meets compassion. Welcome to Christina's Closet. Not a thrift store, but a gift store and a lifeline for those in need. Since 2022, they've been a dignified resource for our community. So whether you're looking to donate, or you're a single parent, or that college student about to graduate, or even a displaced veteran, Christina's Closet is here for you. No cost, no questions asked. From generous hearts through our hands to the humans who are brave enough to ask, we're making a difference. Ask, donate, or volunteer at christinascloset.org.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Do you know about 211 Arizona? It's a free service to connect you with resources anywhere in Arizona. Housing assistance and eviction prevention, transportation and ride services, healthcare benefits, food resources, and even utility bill support. Talk to a live operator in English or Spanish 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Just dial 211 or visit 211arizona.org. Get connected, get answers, and get the help you need. This message is sponsored by 211 Arizona.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU.